Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So one of the major dynamics that we saw in the very early relationship that we are all kind of defining with how AI works in our personal lives and our workplaces was the idea of putting up some kind of, or that we need to put up some kind of limits, or there needs to be some kind of best practices around how AI tools are able to ingest content via training data. And I think actually that's a nuance that's been really missed, because we've talked before about how the process of gathering up big heaps of training data works in practice with these kind of meta aggregators. And that actually is now only part of the problem, because in an era where web fetch, or the ability to visit links on the fly, has been baked into most modern AI tools. And if it's not already in a tool that's going to be added this year, no doubt, then the potential attack surface for copyright violation, if you will, actually has just mushroomed very quietly through a small, seemingly small change in functionality. Now it's not just everything that was in their training data that they could potentially pillage, it's everything on the internet that they can reach. So we saw some interesting developments in this regard. Cloudflare, which, you know, sets like several other big tech providers, what it does is more than just what Cloudflare does. It kind of sets a direction. And I noticed when I was logging into my Cloudflare dashboard a few months ago that there was all these new fancy buttons and switches called bot crawl controls. And these crawl controllers were intended to basically allow you to control at a per bot level. So you could say, I don't want Anthropic bots to be on my site. I'm okay with Google or vice versa, or deny all the bots. Now, I have to be honest, and this is where I'm going to ask you to give me the opposite approach here. I think for most people, this is really misguided. I think that, you know, I was involved in a book publishing process last year, and we ran into, mentions from the publisher very forthright about AI usage and what couldn't be done and what shouldn't be done. Very, very strict. And they're perfectly right. And there is AI models now that are promised to be trained exclusively on content that they have received full copyright clearance from. But nevertheless, here's where my argument would be that for most people, they've got net gain to be realized by, instead of putting up obstacles to AI bots in the form of these new rules to say, welcome bots, come and scrape my site, learn as much about me as possible. And I find it amazing that every single lead generation, lead capture form doesn't have AI bots as a referral source. And really, not just AI chatbot, because that's kind of too vague these days, but specifically Wattbot. But it's even getting, you still see a lot of forms that ask, where did you find out about us? And they won't have AI or AI chatbot even as an option. So my question is, looking at this from the other vantage point, as someone who doesn't, you know, if I'm trying to promote my website or my small business, and I don't have IP that I have to protect, let's say, and say you can't go here, or maybe I do. Maybe I want to say this part of the site is off limits, but the rest of it is on. Or more simply, I just want to have all permissive policy and say, I want to make it as easy as possible. So I don't just want to do nothing. I actually want to do everything in my power to make my website as easy as possible for AI bots to index, with the hope that I will be cited as a source or linked to in ChatGPT or whatever, and I'll get business. In other words, I actually want to play the game and look at AI as a new and fertile inbound marketing source. So Herman and Corin, taking that position, what would you recommend as my to-do list? And I'll throw out a few words that I've come across. LLMs.txt seems to be kind of tentative. This idea that we should create a specific file not for conventional robots like robots.txt, but specifically written for AI bots. And I've seen as well, it mentioned that AI bots thrive on structure. So that paying attention to how well we structure and define our websites, whether that's through a sitemap or more careful metadata and front matter, is in our interest. That's about as much as I know. And of course, it's a very, very, very rapidly emerging and new field. So over to you two. What do you see as the main things that your average webmaster, to use that very antiquated sounding term, should be doing in 2026 to say, okay, I might have some things to that I don't want bots ingesting, but the majority, I see there's a benefit from it. What should I be doing? Over to you, Herman and Korn.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to my weird prompts. I am Korn, and I'm sitting here in a very rainy Jerusalem morning with my brother,
Herman Poppleberry, present and accounted for. And yeah, the rain is really coming down today, Korn. It is the kind of weather that makes you want to just stay inside, drink far too much coffee, and dive into some deep technical rabbit holes.
Which is exactly what we are doing. Our housemate Daniel sent over a really interesting prompt this morning. He was listening to some of our recent discussions, like back in episode 275 when we talked about air-gapped AI, and he started thinking about the opposite end of the spectrum. Instead of hiding data, how do we make it as attractive and digestible as possible for the bots?
It is a total shift in mindset, right? For the last couple of years, especially through 2024 and 2025, the narrative was all about defensive posture. Everyone was terrified of the scrapocalypse. We saw all these tools from Cloudflare and other providers that were basically digital fortresses meant to keep the large language model crawlers out. But Daniel is pointing toward a new frontier. If you cannot beat the crawlers, why not make them your best friend?
Exactly. It is the evolution from SEO, search engine optimization, to what some people are calling AIO or AI optimization. If the way people find information is shifting from a list of blue links to a conversational summary, then being the source for that summary is the new prime real estate.
It really is. And it is funny because we are recording this in early January of 2026, and the landscape has changed so much just in the last 12 months. We are seeing that the bots are not just mindless scrapers anymore. They are looking for high-quality, structured context. They want to cite sources because the users are demanding it. If an AI gives an answer without a citation now, people tend to trust it less. So the question is, how do you make your website
That is the core of it. Daniel specifically mentioned a few tools like rlms.txt, sitemaps, and metadata. I want to start with rlms.txt because that feels like the newest and perhaps most misunderstood piece of this puzzle. Herman, you have been digging into the specifications for that, right?
Oh, I have been obsessed with it. It is such a simple, elegant solution to a massive problem. Think of allms.txt as the spiritual successor to robots.txt. But instead of telling bots where they cannot go, it provides a curated map of where they should go and what they will find there. It is essentially a markdown file that sits in the root directory of your website.
So, instead of a bot having to crawl every single page and try to figure out the hierarchy through trial and error, you are handing them a cheat sheet.
Precisely. The specification for lms.txt is designed to be extremely lightweight. It uses Markdown because large language models are incredibly good at parsing Markdown. It is their native tongue in a way. In that file, you provide a high-level summary of the site, and then you provide links to the most important pages, often with a brief description of what each page contains. But here is the kicker. You can also point to an lms-full.xt file.
And what is the difference there? Is that just the long-form version?
Yeah, exactly. The full version can actually contain the full text of your most important documentation or articles, all concatenated into one single, easily digestible file. Imagine you are a developer or a researcher. Instead of having to click through 20 different pages to understand a concept, the AI can just ingest that one full text file in a single request. It reduces the latency for the bot, reduces the load on your server, and significantly in concrete artwork career. And
that is fascinating because it turns the traditional web design philosophy on its head. We usually design for humans with lots of white space, images, and nested menus. But an AI does not care about your beautiful CS or your hero image. It wants the raw, structured data. Does this mean we are moving toward a world where every site has a shadow version of itself just for the machines?
In a way, yes. But it is a collaborative shadow. If you look at how the big players are using this in 2026, it is not just about the text. It is about the intent. When you format your elems.txt file, you are essentially saying, here is the objective truth about my product or my research. By providing that structured path, you are preventing the AI from hallucinating based on outdated information it might have found in a cache somewhere from 3 years ago.
I can see how that would be huge for brand consistency. If I am a company and I just released a new version of my software, I want the AI to know about the new features immediately. But I am curious about the citation aspect. How does making it easy for the bot lead to that inbound marketing win Daniel was talking about?
That comes down to how these models handle their retrieval augmented generation, or RAG. When an AI gets a query, it looks through its index data for the most relevant snippets. If your data is cleanly formatted in a way that perfectly matches the query, the model is more likely to pull your snippet into its context window. And because you provided the clear structure and the direct links in your lms.txt file, the model has a clear path to attribute that information back to you. It is like providing variety leaky out help team.
It makes total sense. It is about reducing friction. The less work the AI has to do to verify your information, the more likely it is to use it. But before we get too deep into the metadata and sitemaps, we should probably take a quick break for our sponsors.
Good idea. I need a quick refill on my tea anyway.
We will be right back.
Are you tired of your website being ignored by presence with the a 10-stan crafted copper-plated charm is infused with the essence of high-frequency trading data and the tears of 1,000 failed startups? Simply hang the pendant over your router and watch as your search rankings defy the laws of physics. Simply hang the pendant over your router and watch as your search rankings defy the laws of physics. Our patent resonance technobellotes speaks directly to make him an intense temperature.
All right, thanks, Larry. I am not sure hanging a copper pendant over a router is exactly what Daniel had in mind, but hey, to each their own.
I love how Larry always manages to find a way to make technology sound like 19th century occultism. It is a gift, really.
It really is. Anyway, back to the world of actual optimization. We talked about lms.txt, but Daniel also mentioned sitemaps and metadata. Now, sitemaps have been around since the beginning of time in internet years. Why are they suddenly important for AI?
Well, the reason they are important now is that AI crawlers are using them differently than traditional search engines. Google or Bing might use a sitemap to discover new pages, but they still rely heavily on the link graph, following one page to the next. AI models, especially the ones running real-time web searches like we see in 2026, are often looking for the freshest data possible. A well-structured SL sitemap with clear what clear nos scientific.
So it is about the delta. It is about showing the bot what is new so it does not waste resources on the old stuff.
Exactly. And you can actually extend your sitemap with custom tags. We are starting to see people use specialized schema within their sitemaps to indicate which pages are high-density information pages versus marketing landing pages. If I am a bot, I want to prioritize the documentation and the white papers over the sign-up page. By flagging those in the sitemap, you are guiding the AI toward the content that is most likely to be cited as a source of truth.
That leads perfectly into the metadata discussion. We have been using things like Open Graph for social media and Schema.org for rich snippets in search results for years. How does that translate to the AI era?
It translates because Schema.org is basically the Rosetta Stone for AI. When you use JSON-LD to mark up your content, You are giving the AI a set of key value pairs that it can understand with zero ambiguity. If you have an article about a specific chemical compound, and you use the appropriate Schema markup to define the compound's properties, the AI does not have to guess if that number is a boiling point or a molecular weight. It knows.
And that certainty is what drives citations.
Precisely. AI models are built on probabilities. If the model is 99% sure that your site has the correct answer because it is clearly labeled in the metadata, it is going to pick you over a site where it only has 70% confidence in its extraction. This is especially true for things like prices, dates, and technical specifications. If you want to be the source of truth, you have to label your truth clearly.
I think there is a second-order effect here that is really interesting for marketing. If you are optimized for these bots, you are not just getting a link in a chat box. You are potentially becoming part of the AI's internal knowledge base during its next training cycle.
That is a great point, Korn. We are seeing a shift where the line between search and training is blurring. In 2026, many models are doing continuous or incremental training. If your site is easy to index, your brand's perspective and your data become part of the model's fundamental understanding of a topic. That is the ultimate inbound marketing. You are not just being found, you are being remembered.
It is like the difference between being a book on a shelf that someone might pick up and being part of the person's actual education. But let's talk about the practical side for a second. If I am a website owner and I want to implement this today, what does my checklist look like?
First step, without a doubt, is creating that lms.txt file. It is the lowest hanging fruit. You can manually curate it in about 20 minutes. List your core pages, give them clear descriptive titles, and provide a summary of what your site is about. Use natural language, but keep it concise. Remember, you are talking to a machine that likes clarity.
And what about the markdown aspect? I know you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, this is a big one. Ensure that the pages you are linking to are also easy to parse. Avoid complex layouts with lots of nested divs if you can. If you can provide a text-only or markdown version of your long-form content, do it. Some people are even using a media query or a specific header to serve a simplified version of the page when they detect an AI crawler. It is like a responsive design, but for intelligence instead of screen size.
That is a brilliant analogy. A responsive design for intelligence. I like that. What about the citation bait? How do you actually structure a sentence or a paragraph to make it more quotable for an AI?
I call this the verifiable factoid method. I models love sentences that follow a clear subject, predicate, object structure with specific data points. Instead of saying, our software is really fast and helps you work better, say our software reduces latency by 45% compared to industry standards as of January 2026. The second sentence is a fact that can be extracted, stored, and cited. The first sentence is just fluff.
So, it is about being more like an encyclopedia and less like a brochure.
Exactly. The brochure is for the human who wants to feel an emotion. The encyclopedia is for the AI that wants to provide an answer. To win at AIO, you have to be both. You have to have the human-centric landing page, but you need to have that data-rich foundation that the bot can grab onto.
It is also worth mentioning that this is not just for tech companies. If you are a local restaurant in Jerusalem, you should have your menu marked up with Schema. You should have an lms.txt file that clearly states your hours, your location, and your signature dishes. When someone asks an AI, where can I find the best hummus in Jerusalem that is open on a Tuesday morning, you want the AI to have zero doubt that you are the right answer.
Right. And think about the implications for trust. In episode 101, we talked about benchmarking and the word error rate in ASR tools. Reliability was the key theme there. It is the same thing here. If an AI cites you and the user clicks through and finds that the information is accurate and easy to find, that builds a massive amount of trust, not just with the user, but with the model's feedback loop. These models are constantly being fine-tuned based on user satisfaction. If your site consistently leads to satisfied users,
It is a virtuous cycle. You make it easy for the bot. The bot gives a good answer. The user is happy. The bot's developers see that the source was high quality, and your ranking in the latent space of that model goes up.
I love that term, ranking in the latent space. That is exactly what it is. We are moving away from a world of keywords and toward a world of semantic vectors. Your goal as a website owner is to position your brand as close as possible to the concepts you want to be associated with.
So, we have talked about the technicals and the strategy. Let's look at some of the misconceptions. I think a lot of people still think that if they let the bots in, they are just giving away their value for free. How do you counter that argument in 2026?
It is a valid concern, but it is also a bit of a dinosaur mentality. If your value is just the raw information, then yeah, you might be in trouble. But for most businesses, the value is in the service, the expertise, or the community. By letting the bot index your information, you are using that information as a lighthouse to bring people to your actual value. If you block the bot, you are not protecting your information, you are just making yourself invisible. In a world where 80% of information seeking starts with an imab prompt,
it is the difference between a walled garden and a storefront. A walled garden is great if you already have a loyal following, but if you want new customers, you need a storefront that people can actually see from the street. And in this case, the street is the AI's response window.
That is a perfect way to put it. And let's not forget about the legal landscape. We are seeing more and more cases where AI companies are willing to pay for high-quality data, but they are only going to pay for data that is easy to ingest and verify. By following these best practices, you are essentially making your data enterprise-ready. Whether you are looking for citations or a licensing deal, the requirements are the same: structure, clarity, and accessibility.
It is funny how we have come full circle. In the early days of the web, it was all about being open and connected. Then we got into this era of silos and paywalls and defensive SEO. Now, thanks to AI, we are being forced to go back to those original principles of clear, structured communication.
It is a return to the semantic web that Tim Berners-Lee envisioned decades ago. We just needed a machine smart enough to actually use it.
Well, I think we have given Daniel a lot to chew on. To recap, get that armems.txt file up, use schema.org Matamatia for everything, keep your sitemaps fresh, and start writing in a way that is as easy for a bot to cite as it is for a human to read.
And don't forget to keep an eye on the emerging standards. This field is moving so fast. What we are talking about in January might be supplemented by new protocols by June. Stay curious and stay flexible.
Absolutely. And hey, if you are listening to this and you found it helpful, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Spotify or whatever podcast app you use. It genuinely helps other people find the show, and we love hearing from you.
Yeah, it really does make a difference. We have been doing this for 278 episodes now, and the community feedback is what keeps us going.
For sure. You can also find us at myweirdprompts.com. We have got the RSS feed there and a contact form if you want to send in a prompt like Daniel did. We are always looking for new rabbit holes to explore.
Just maybe don't send us any prompts about copper pendants. I think Larry has that market covered.
Fair enough. Well, this has been My Weird Prompts. I am Korn.
And I am Herman Poppleberry.
Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
See ya!
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.